sick and he's spitting.
Welcome back in the zone, hour three. Big Joe Klein is in the house, and only because he's told me he's turned over a new leaf and he doesn't want to hear himself sing anymore, we're not going to play his open today. I'll just post it on the blog. Big Baby, make sure you post it to the blog, though, so people can enjoy that.
Will do.
Coming soon?
You don't have to do that, Big Baby.
Big Joe's greatest hits. He's not your everyday. How are you?
Good.
Good to see you.
Good.
Chrissy Chatham's still here, too, from Youth Home. And Joe and I are working out a deal to take a trip. I know. What is better, spending a week at the beach or spending a week at the beach with me? I mean, what would be better?
That's tough. That's real tough.
Would you rather spend a week in... What's a small town near Slater, Missouri?
Gillum.
Okay, would you rather spend a week in Gillum without me, or a week at the beach with me?
Well, and here's the thing: the villa.
Like with you, is that like you're around all the time? We can't get away from you. Like we have, like in the morning you're there.
Yeah.
Lunch you're there.
Yeah.
Golf you're there.
Mm-hmm.
Dinner you're there.
Right.
You're there. Like every time you turn around, you're there.
Like I'm one of your kids.
I gotta go Gillum.
Oh. But the villa sleeps 10, so this place is huge. I think it's like 8,000 square feet or something huge.
Okay. You can bring a whole village. I mean, you could bring almost the entire Klein family.
You've never lived until you've gone to the fundraiser. Speaking of fundraisers, the Gillum Sewer Blowout in Gillum, Missouri.
What is the Gillum Sewer Blowout?
I don't know, but I used to have a shirt, and it was awesome. They had a fundraiser because they had to do a new system for the town.
Okay.
The town's 250 people. So they had like a...
They were raising money for a new sewer?
They were raising money for a new sewer system.
Well, that's good.
Something. I don't know. I thought they were joking, but...
It's kind of a crappy fundraiser.
If there's a T-shirt, it happened.
Oh, yeah.
You like that. Thank you. Big Baby picked up on my pun. Okay. So one more time here, Chrissy. We'll let you get on to bigger and better things.
Yeah.
It is
exhibition a week from Friday, April 5th. VIP, $75. You get in at 6 o'clock. General admission, $50. You get in at 7 o'clock.
Do you want to mention this other event that's coming up Monday? Did you send me information on this, or did I mistake you for someone else? There was a golf tournament for a friend of yours. Was that you, or is that someone else? Because I had it down on your name. Hi, Justin. Helping a friend with a golf tournament to raise money for blood cancer patients in Central Arkansas. I wanted to see about coming on the show. Was that you?
Is that from Chrissy Chatham?
Maybe not.
I don't believe that.
Anyway, there's an event coming up.
Go to From, FROM, to Justin Eckery, From.
I'll check it out. Anyway, there's an event on April 1st at 11 a.m. at Greystone. It's $150 for a two-man team. It must have been from somebody else. Yeah. I don't know. Sorry.
I don't know.
Exhibition.
Sorry if I know you.
Exhibition coming up.
Yes.
Be there. Aloha. And Joe and I will be there. So nobody bid on the Mexico trip. Joe and I got it ironed out.
Yeah, and if you don't like us on Facebook already, find us on Facebook, like us, and you can see all of those other live auction items that we have.
I like you on Facebook. I like you off Facebook. I like you.
You're
awesome.
Just go to youthhome.org.
There you go.
That's
an option, too.
Yes, thank you. Youthhome.org, or you can call us, 821-5500.
Poor Chrissy's so insecure, Joe. She doesn't know if you like her on Facebook, if you don't like her on Facebook, if you like her off Facebook. I mean, there's a lot of things to concern herself with.
My self-validity is entirely tied to Facebook likes.
Yeah.
I would be in trouble.
You'd be in big trouble, yeah. Are you on Twitter?
No.
Okay.
Who would want to follow me?
Not very many people.
Thank you.
You'd be surprised.
You could get more
followers. I would have people following me that I didn't want following.
That's probably true.
And then I would have to listen to their comments. If I posted something, then they would attack me, and I would be mad.
Yeah, you don't need that.
I don't need that.
Or you could be like Coach Bieleman. You can go back at him. That's what he does on Twitter. Now, Coach Shields has a Twitter account, and I follow him. His Twitter's a little weak. He's not very busy. I guess he's busy trying to build a winning program, so that's more important than tweeting, whatever it is you do. Is anybody else on staff? Anybody else have one?
Not to my knowledge.
Who monitors the players' Twitter accounts?
It's monitored. I know that.
Somebody.
Because we've...
The Gestapo.
We've had Facebook monitoring sessions, and we've had Twitter sessions.
There was an incident.
When there's uncomfortable things posted or said by 18-year-old kids.
Yeah.
Which is...
Basically every day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's the way it goes.
Are they duck-facing kids?
Are they what?
Duck-facing.
I don't even know what that means.
That's making that face into the... You know, like... girls do.
I've never seen that before.
The tough face. Yeah, I didn't know that. That's a good duck facing.
It just gets weirder all the time. I'm going to let you get out of here before it gets too strange.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, I look forward to seeing everybody Friday, April 5th at the Jack Stevens Center on the UALR campus. See you
Absolutely.
Soon. Thanks for having me.
That is true. There is no telling what Joe's going to bring up. It is always it's a crapshoot. It's a crapshoot with Joe. Might be sewer talk. Who knows? Joe, my team got...
Sewer blowout.
Joe's career high, a lot of people may not know this, Joe's career high at Arkansas was against Iowa State, 41 points. In a single game. Lots of guys have gotten their career high against Iowa State over the years, though, so don't get too cocky about it.
It was in Hawaii, too.
Well, that's so a good place good. To do it.
Yeah.
You know, that's a beautiful place. The air's so dewy sweet, you don't even have to lick the stamps.
Yep, I hear you.
I love Hawaii. They're actually going back to this year.
Iowa State is?
Yes, and Arkansas is playing there next year as well, but in a different tournament. Buckeyes guard Aaron Kraft drew a charge in the win over Iowa State the other day. I call it a win. I say that tongue-in-cheek. In a game that they stole. Here is a, and I don't know who figures this stuff out, somebody way smarter than me. Iowa State, had they gotten the block call, which they deserved, made the basket, gone up three, and then made the free throw for a four-point lead, they would have had an 87.5% win probability, according to KenPom, KenPom.com. I don't know who does that. Instead, the Buckeyes got the ball back with a 52.5% chance to win. That block charge call cost them a chance to go to the Sweet 16, Joe. That and many other plays that they didn't make. But
yeah, I mean, it's tough. I mean, it was a missed call. And, you know, now I've heard, you know, everybody saying that I was listening to somebody yesterday talking about they want to do away with the block charge. If they think it's a terrible call. And, I mean, it's like the problem isn't the call. The problem is that, you know, and again, there's human error involved. And I'm sure the guy, I mean, if he's refereeing in the NCAA, he's a qualified official. The guy blew it. He made a bad call at a crucial time. And when you make a call at a crucial time in the NCAA, it's just like a player. You know, if a player makes a bonehead play, coach makes a bonehead play in the NCAA at a crucial time, you're gonna get raked over the coals. And, you know, and that's just the way it is. And, you know, the guy missed a call, made a bad call. You know, they are so programmed up. I mean, they are so programmed. It's almost like I was surprised he even made the call because it's just almost getting to the point like in the NBA, if you're going to put yourself out there, you know, it's got to be a no-brainer, you know. But if it's a bam-bam play, you either give it to the offense or you just don't call
it. You no-call it, yeah. Well, they got a no-call earlier in the season against Kansas, and they got screwed on that, too, and it was clearly a charge. And they lost that end of it. They lose this one, too, and unfortunately it cost them. And maybe after a couple more years and maybe they establish themselves a little bit better, they'll start getting some of those calls. Clearly, Ohio State's a little further along as a program right now than Iowa State is. I don't know if that weighs into it or not. I'd like to think it doesn't, but it's hard for me not to feel that way. It does happen. And look, it is, like you said, it's a bang-bang play. The thing that I haven't seen anybody bring up is that the kid was sliding, I thought, after the kid had already elevated, which you can't do either. So.
Right. No, I mean, I saw it on the replay. I didn't see it in real time, but they missed. You know, it was a bad call. He missed it.
As a coach, does it frustrate you that basically referees are above the law? They have names, they have faces, but they're basically nameless, faceless guys who administrate basketball games. I don't know how much you can even talk about that kind of thing.
You know, I mean,
talking generically.
I don't know. Sometimes you want. I don't know that I need them to be called out. And I think where the problem lies is that, you know, you always hear about them being reprimanded or fined or whatever they do, but nobody knows the punishment. You know, nobody knows the accountability. Like if a guy costs Iowa State, you know, a great chance to win the game, so on and so forth. You know, if a player does a bad shot or a player does, there's accountability there,
right?
That we know of. We know that the coach is going to do something, or you know, there's accountability as a coach from his. You know, I think the thing where it gets, you don't know what's, you know, if the guy misses call, what are they saying to him? What are they doing to him? What are they? And I think that hurts it. I mean, from the standpoint, is a lot of times, and I think there's, I definitely know that there's actions taken.
Yeah, there's accountability to some degree,
but nobody knows about it. Right. So sometimes it looks like, well, he just blew the call, and then he doesn't have any repercussions for his, you know, not doing his job to the best of his ability. And so I think that's where the problem comes in, is that people assume that he just made this call, and now, you know, now he's fixing the game, and now he's doing this,
right.
and now he's doing that, and that's not the case at all. So I wish they would somehow, you know, I don't know that you can come out and say we did this to this particular guy or something, but kind of show, you know, that there are consequences
right.
to doing that. I think that would help. You know, it's not going to make the Iowa State players or fans feel any better, but at least you know there's some repercussions to messing up.
Gary in Little Rock has a question about the charge block, which is probably, I don't want to say it's the most missed call, but it's certainly one of the most debated calls. I mean, it happens all the time, whether it happens, you know, in a game deciding situation like that one, or one that certainly could have a huge impact, or it happens in the, you know, middle of the first half. It's one of those ones that there is so much, I mean, there's so much of, I don't want to say opinion, because, I mean, this should be pretty clear. And it's easy on the replay. It's easy for us to say. I'd like to see him be able to, especially when you're talking about the
NBA,
line.
In the NBA, they can, especially late in the game,
yeah.
they can review it.
See, I wish they would. My thing is, we spend all this time reviewing whether or not this is a flagrant or that's a
right.
flagrant. That seems like it would be important.
That's a great point. If you're gonna stop the game because a guy, you know, flailed an elbow.
Yeah, whether he hit him in the neck or hit him in the chin, it's going to matter.
I mean, you know, you should be able to do the other.
I would like to think so. Gary in Little Rock has a question about it. What's up, Gary?
Hey, guys. I think I've got a way to fix this charge block thing. To me, it's hardly ever a block when a player leaves his feet, because when a player leaves his feet, to me, if you slide over and he's already up in the air, I mean, there's no way that should be a charge call.
And it's not supposed to be, but I think that's exactly what happened in this situation.
But that's happened so many times.
Yeah.
I think they should do away with the charge block call when a player leaves his feet, and only call the charge block foul when somebody bulls over somebody, lowers a shoulder. But when a player leaves his feet, it's either going to be a block or a no call.
So what if you're standing there and LeBron James jumps up and he kicks me in the face as he's dunking over me? It shouldn't be a charge call?
That's what's so hard. So many times players the player may have left the ground at the free throw line to make this, you know, spectacular dunk, and the guy moves over and he may be completely still. But
if there's a guy that can dunk from the free throw line, you better get out of his way anyway.
Yeah, no doubt. But just do away with that. When the player leaves the ground, just do away with it.
Yeah, Gary, I appreciate the call. I think you're getting into a pretty tough area there. I think to do away with it, period, would be tough.
No, you
in that case.
Do away with it, period. I mean, and I don't think that's what Gary was alluding to. I think Gary was, and the rule, as you stated, Justin, if you leave the ground, you can't slide under him.
Mm-hmm.
So, and again, I mean, it comes back to how good are your officials, how good are they trained, and, you know, human error is going to be involved at times. What they have to do is they have to find a way in the last 2 to 3 minutes of games, because when these plays happen earlier in the game, you have time. Like if that play with Iowa State happened with 10 minutes to go, Iowa State has time to rectify that, to make amends for it. There's, you know, a lot of things can happen. But when it happens last 2 minutes of the game or in those situations, you're now it's magnified because – it's the end of the game.
Mm-hmm.
There's, you know, Iowa State might have one possession with the ball left or two possessions with the ball left, so now it's magnified, so there it needs to definitely be reviewable. But the rule already states, I mean, if somebody leaves the ground, you can't slide under them. And it's like you said, it's a very difficult call to make. But at the end of the day, you know, that's why these guys are probably getting, some of them, $2,000 to $3,000 a game.
Mm-hmm.
To referee the game,
right.
You know, and again, just like coaches are getting paid a lot, you know, players in the NBA get paid a lot.
Some in college, depending where they go.
Some, but you know, so there's got to be accountability there to where if you're supposedly in the NCAA, one of the best officials going in the game,
right?
You know, you got to be able to make that call and make it correctly. And it would help in the last 2 minutes if you could review it.
I would like it. Keithley Service coming live, fan feedback. That would be great. Even if they just did it in the last 2 minutes, it would be a great step in the right direction. And I don't want to slow the games down by any means, but that's the thing. They spend 5 minutes at a time.
Yeah.
Whether to choose whether a guy, to decide whether a guy hit a guy with an elbow in the neck right. or in the chin, and it's going to determine whether or not it's a flagrant foul. But yet you can't review something like that as part of the play. I don't understand that. Al says on the Keith Lee Service Committee live fan feedback, what teams do you and Joe see going to the NCAA title game? We'll get to that in a second. I also, Kev says, the ref from the ISU-OSU game had to run bleachers early in the morning. I would be fine with that. I want those guys to get the same kind of punishment that players get for doing things that are stupid. That'd be fine with me. I'd be okay with that.
Well, and then, I mean, and I'm sure there's something there. His grade or something. He may not have been able to do the next game. I don't know, but where the problem lies is all that stuff is so secretive that, you know, it gives the illusion that nothing was done, that he made a bad call. Iowa State's out of the tournament, and let's go to the next game. And that's not the case at all. There is accountability. There's a grading system, and I'm sure there's ways that they get doc pay and things like that. And again,
do you think it'd be okay to execute those guys when they do a bad job, or is that excessive? Okay, moving on. I don't want to get Joe in trouble. I'm thinking maybe like a limb.
I tell you one thing. I know. I don't ever want to be a college basketball official.
I guarantee you.
That is an impossible job.
Yeah, it's a brutal deal.
It's easy to sit up there and take that whistle one day and practice.
Yeah.
Our guys, all the time in scrimmages. I mean, we're calling scrimmages in practice, and we have to referee it, and they start jawing you. I can't tell you how many times we've stopped it and put them on the line and started running them. Because Steve's great quote is, I'm not a referee. I don't want to be a dang referee. Shut up and play.
That's. I saw a lot of paraphrasing going on in that little comment right there. Joe Klein joining us in the studio, if you didn't recognize the voice, which I'm sure most of you probably do. I won't ask you about a player specifically, but I think everybody knows who I'm alluding to. There was a player who just got sent home from the NCAA tournament with his team after a loss, who is very flamboyant, to say the least, plays for an SEC team. I'm sure you've played with guys like this, whether it was in the NBA or at the college level. I don't know if you have ever played with anybody quite like this guy. But from a teammate's perspective and from an opponent's perspective, there's some downside, I think. What do you do? I'll just say, I mean, it's Marshall Henderson. Everybody knows. I mean, he's been talked about a lot, both on TV, on the radio. I mean, I think Andy Kennedy sort of grinds his teeth and deals with it. He's the leading scorer in the SEC. So you got a great player who is one of the great streaky shooters in the country, but he also does some things like flipping off fans, like doing the gator chomp with 5 minutes to go in a game that's not decided yet against Florida. I mean, there's a lot of things he's done that have been mostly perceived as a negative. What do you do with a player like that?
Well, first of all, he's not a great player.
Okay.
He's a volume shooter.
Okay.
He went 14 out of 42 in the NCAA.
Okay.
Now, what he does is now, because he's a volume shooter and he has great confidence, and Andy, it's the best for their team with what they've got. He helps them. He frees up a lot of guys because everybody's very worried about him knocking down four threes in a row, which he's capable of doing, but mm-hmm. he's also capable of missing eight in a row.
Right.
So you feast and famine there. But, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, he's a volume shooter. He'll shoot you in. He'll shoot you out. I don't use the word great with him
okay.
at all.
What would you do with a problem player who is a key cog for your team?
I mean, it's the old adage. I mean, do your problems off the court and your problems to the team, and every player and every coach and every team has it. Is what you bring to the table bigger and better than what your problems create?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're scoring and making shots and you're helping us win and we're winning games and we're going to the NCAA and we're doing this and we're doing that, do all those things give you a little more rope from the standpoint of your play on the floor? Does it give you more rope to play? And then your team situation comes. If you're Duke, Marshall Henderson is nowhere to be found.
Right.
Because they don't need him.
Right.
They don't need to put up with it. You know, they're established. The coach is established. You know, they don't need that. If you're Ole Miss and you're getting a little heat because you've never made the NCAA tournament, and, you know, now it's a different deal.
Sure.
You know, we all like to sit there as coaches and go, I wouldn't put up with that, and I wouldn't put up with this, and I wouldn't let him do that, and I wouldn't let him do this. But at the end of the day, if your job's on the line and he's the best option you got to keep your job, you're going to have a little more rope than maybe a Krzyzewski or a Thad Mata or somebody that's like, hey, you know, I don't need this.
Well, it was like recently with Nick Saban did the same thing in Alabama. He walked four kids that had gotten themselves in a little bit of trouble. Maybe some other programs would let that happen.
No doubt.
And they could survive after some serious punishment, maybe even a suspension. But, yeah, at Alabama, it's like, hey, you don't want to play ball? Then you don't get to play ball.
Right.
So I do want to talk NBA after the break, but we got a couple more questions here real quick. And putting Joe on the hot seat today. I like it. Jason.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, bud.
Hey, just one of the things I've noticed a lot in college basketball, and this may add to just the lack of scoring these days. It just seems like there's too much standing on offense and a lot of on-ball screens and a dribble drive. But just not a lot of guys scoring. You know, I was wondering with Joe, that maybe the NBA game and the college offense, getting away from like a lot of five-man passing games, a lot of moving passing games, not too many people run like split-screen offenses or things like that anymore. They're just waiting on guys to penetrate and make plays, and you got a lot of guys standing around just missing shots.
Appreciate the call. And we were talking about that earlier, too. I mean, Florida Gulf Coast, Jim Harris and I were talking about this. There's such a breath of fresh air because they do share the ball. It's obviously they're playing above the rim, which is great for the highlight reel, but they do really share the ball well. And we have seen, it seems, a drop off offensively around the country this year.
Well, and I mean, you know, again, here, you know, the NBA game has such an influence on the college game nowadays, much more so than when I was playing, that, you know, coaches and a lot of people try to emulate what they're doing. I mean, I've even heard a guy, an analyst yesterday, say he thinks they should take 5 to 10 seconds off the shot clock, which is, he's out of his mind. I mean, he's ridiculous because they're trying to, you say, we want to speed it up and help. What you're doing is you're trying to get, you know, it's like I always do the NASCAR thing. You know, you're trying to get normal people to drive 200 miles an hour, you know, because you want to see them go fast.
Right.
Well, you know, everybody's not LeBron James, Dwayne Wade. And when you see them, you know, that's why they get paid what they do. That's why they are where they are. And it's spectacular to watch and it's fun to watch. But you also in the same NBA see teams trying to do what the Heat are doing and don't have those caliber players and they're a train wreck. Now you take that to the college level where the caliber of play is even less. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's hard to do. I mean, there's not as much passing. There's not as much screening. But kids are better nowadays handling the ball with the dribble. They're not near as good passing the ball as they were in the past. I think a lot of that has to do with the three-point line and the shot clock. The shot clock speeds it up, so you don't have time to run sets. You don't have time to work the ball. Now you got to eventually, with 10 or 15 seconds left, you got to give it to a dude and go set a screen for him and say, make a play for me. Mm-hmm. And that's, you better have a really good dude that can do that or it's going to look ugly.
More with Joe Klein coming up. First time buyers, bad credit, no credit, doesn't matter.